In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eliah and Shebam and Nebo and Baon. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time. And he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation which had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side of Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, then, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, As the Lord hath said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with the cities thereof in the coasts, even the cities of the country round about. And the children of Gad built Dibon, and Ataroth, and Aroer, and Atroth, and Shophan, and Jaazer, and Jogbeha, and Beth Nimra, and Beth Haran, fenced cities and folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon, Eleala, Kirjathaim, and Nebo, and Baal Meon, their names being changed, and Shibma, and gave other names unto the cities which they builded. And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and dispossessed the Amorite which was in it. And Moses gave Gilead unto Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt therein. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof, and called them Havoth Jair. And Nobah went and took Kenath, and the villages thereof, and called it Nobah, after his own name. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, it's a pretty simple chapter. In fact, this is one of those chapters where we see that in these days of writing, that the style to write was, it was geared toward not having a book that you could carry around with you to refer to at all times. And so notice how many times in this chapter we repeat the same circumstances over and again. And the repetition is a mnemonic device so that everyone would remember what was being taught here. Everyone would remember what's being said. Because although there was indeed a scroll that had been written on by Moses in that day, and then Joshua added to it in his day, that was not a common scroll that everyone would have in their homes like we would have Bibles in our homes. And so we have in this chapter, first of all, we say what we're thinking about doing, then we present that, and then we repeat what we say we're going to do, and then the person that has the authority to approve it repeats it back to us to make sure he's got it right, and then we say, yeah, that's what we want to do, repeating it again, and then it's told again to all of the elders of the people and to the priests and so on. And so there's all of these repetitions. All right, well, you understand the story. As they came out of the land of Egypt into the promised land there at Kadesh Barnea in the south, and they did not enter into the land like they were supposed to. So they wandered for 40 years in the south. And then here they come. Here they come up Jordan. And they're on the eastern side of Jordan. Okay, and they're going to move westward in the north part near Jericho. And here they are up in this area here, and they've come up alongside here, the Jordan Valley. They've come south of the Dead Sea. They've come through Edom, and now they have the king of Sihon, the king of Og, and then they have these other small towns along this side here. And 2.5 tribes love that land. They love it so much that it's not like they're denying that the land of Canaan should be theirs. They're simply saying, this is a good land for cattle. Seems like we found our home. We're men of cattle. And so let us stay here instead of going with our brethren to settle lands in the midst of the land of Canaan on the other side of Jordan. All right. Well, their request in and of itself is not a bad request. But Moses' response to them is very important, especially pastorally, and it's a timeless moral principle that I want to make sure we all understand. Military folk understand this. There's a French term that we use. It's esprit du corps. You've heard the term. We call it morale, if you will. We call it covenant mutuality. There are all kinds of different names that we have for it. Let me tell you one way that it works out. This is a very simple way. One thing that I have done with the children that are reciting, not just children, some adults also, that are reciting in the catechism class. One thing that I have made sure that we do is that we treat this in such a way as to build mutual encouragement, morale, and esprit de corps. And what I mean by that is it would be very simple and very easy to have, okay, who's first today? You're first. Okay, you stand up, you recite, and out the door. You're gone. Okay, who's second? You're second. Okay, you recite, out the door. But instead of that, everyone sits throughout the entirety of the class, excuse me, to be an encouragement to every other person in the class, knowing that they will be there week by week to help by listening to everyone else's recital. This is not an individualistic class that we're undertaking in the afternoons for our recitals. It's covenantal. We are tied together. We are, if you will, joined at the hip on this to encourage one another. This builds morale so that I know when I'm reciting that every week there's going to be a set of people there that when I recite, that it's not just Pastor Riddell typing on the computer up front and you know putting down what we did, but that everyone else in the class is going to be there with me, and we're going to recite together, and we're going to listen together. And what that does is it builds morale. And that's why I'm insistent on the children coming in, sitting down, being quiet, listening to each other when they recite, so that they might be of that kind of encouragement one to another. Notice what Moses said. Where did Moses go immediately when those 2.5 tribes came to him and said, this is what we want to do? He said, you're going to discourage the hearts of your brethren. You're wanting to separate out yourself a special dispensation for yourselves, and that will destroy the morale. And we cannot have that. Now, they came back with the right response. No. You're misunderstanding. That's not our intention. We intend to leave our wives and flocks and children transjordan, and then we will pass ready armed with the rest of the children of Israel, and we will not return until we have established them in their inheritance as well. Yes, we do desire that kind of covenantal joining with our brethren. Now, brothers and sisters, how it works out for us is we're all here every week. We come to church together. We sit together. We're not insisting on special dispensations for ourselves week by week. Oh, I know everybody sits in there. I'm going to sit out here because I'm special. Okay, you know what that does? That breaks the morale. It destroys the encouragement. There is to be a mutual encouragement between us. This is part of the design, the warp and woof of the church that God has placed in it, so that we might come together, be of mutual encouragement one to another, having our various places and stations, of course. I mean, we're not all going to be preachers, right? The service doesn't look like a whack-a-mole thing when people are standing up speaking at odd times. No, we don't do that. We have our duty one to another before the Lord to come together as a people partaking of the same things, behaving ourselves in this very similar manner. We don't insist on special things for ourselves or for our children. No, we all come in together and join ourselves together as one covenant people. And see, what the children of Israel did here, the Transjordanic tribes, was they ran the risk, if they didn't handle that correctly, of destroying that one covenantal people kind of feel. And so this is why Moses responds in the way that he does. But their answer is good, and their answer is approved by all of the people of Israel. They all came together and they all understood that this, and notice what they said, this is what the Lord requires of us. And notice that nowhere in this passage did it say, thus saith the Lord. But when all the people came together and Moses spoke, they understood that as the voice of God to them. And they said, we will follow you into Jordan. We will go ahead of you into Jordan. And so what they did was, then they took those towns and those cities that were already built on the Transjordanic side, and they did that brief and quick remodel that they needed to do to plant their wives, their children, and their livestock there. And then all the men of war traveled with the rest of the nation into the land of promise, and they did not return until they had subdued every particular area that God had given them. By the time we get to Joshua chapter 21, we hear that God gave to the children of Israel every square centimeter of land that he promised to their fathers. And so the people say to Joshua, it's time for us to go home. And he says, you know what? You're right. It is. And so we have this wonderful understanding then that we see in chapter 32 of Numbers here of what it means to be a people in covenant one with another, not insisting upon our own way, not rising up to set ourselves above anyone else, but taking our place among the people of God. And we see the happy results of such a procedure. All right. Well, this ends the reading of Numbers chapter 32. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.